All right, welcome to the pod. Today we have Samantha Quintana.
Close enough, yeah.
Quintana, so Cuban. So I heard we had some chili. You're Cuban, half Cuban, Chinese, and a little bit of Jamaican.
Yep, culturally nice. Jamaican.
So a cultural melting pot already in your blood. And so basically Samantha's one of the best food bloggers in Miami.
Thanks.
With her blog, Bite of MIA, right?
Yep.
And so we kind of explore like what drove that passion. Because it's great to have a, you know, a side hustle that makes money. So Samantha's kind of a successful food blogger. I think there's a lot of people out there who do that, you know, putz around on TikTok and stuff. So it's nice to talk to someone and find out how they, you know, became successful. So I love starting these out. I heard you're also Miami born and raised. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
So where were you born in Miami?
I was born in West Kendall and grew up there like my entire life, basically, until a few years ago when I moved kind of more, a little more east. But even then, like Miami purebred,
okay.
It's a little more rare these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, we just had someone last week who was Kendall, too. So, yeah, you guys make a name for yourself. When did the food obsession start for you?
Probably, I think it's always been there. Like my parents kind of always took us out to restaurant, my brother and I. Would take us out to restaurants on the weekend just to like try a new place every now and then. And then both of my grandmas are really good, like either baking or in the kitchen cooking. So there was always definitely like an interest in food. And then when I was in high school, I started doing photography, grew an interest in that. And then once I hit college, I was like, well, I should combine the two and start doing, you know, food photography, food blogging.
What do you study in college?
In college, I studied finance.
Finance?
Yeah.
Okay. And then where did you go to school?
FIU.
FIU. Okay.
Yeah.
How would you describe like the gastronomy programs in Miami? Are there some or?
I definitely know of a couple. I feel like lately a lot of the good chefs and stuff and like, you know, restaurateurs, they come from out of Miami. They come from out of state. There are a few, you know, local bread that are also very good, but I know FIU has a good program, and I've heard of a couple other, I guess, kind of like culinary programs in schools around here, but I feel like most of the time, if you're from here, like you kind of just have that passion and you just start a restaurant for the most part. Like I don't know that a lot of people just have like that like proper training,
right?
If that makes sense. But even then, without it, they still make really good food.
Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of grandmas out there don't have culinary degrees.
Exactly,
they pull it off,
throwing everything in a pot.
Yeah, just a lot of heart and love, and I think some of the better culinary programs are more in like Europe, you know, and people travel, people go there, then come back, and so. All right, so you studied finance, and so when, I guess, what's the story of Bite of MIA? So how did that start? What was like the first inspiration?
So like I said, I started the summer before my freshman year of college. And essentially, I had stumbled upon this list of like top 50 places to visit in Miami. And, you know, I'm starting college, a little more freedom. And I was like, I loved going out to restaurants. I love trying new food. So I was just like, oh, I want to cross off everything on this list and try every single spot. And then I saw a few, very few other people were kind of like posting and doing food Instagrams. And I was like, oh, I'm going to use this as a diary. I'll make my own. Use it as a diary and kind of like track the places that I do visit from this list. I didn't make it to every single place, unfortunately, but I kept kind of just taking pictures of places that I would go to, and then from there it took off.
Nice. Was there one specific review where you started to get like traction and people were paying attention?
I think it was just like a culmination of everything that I was doing, and because I've been in it for so long, I can't really pinpoint just one specific like post or a review that kind of just blew up. If anything, more lately, like within the last 2 years, I've had like 2 to 3 years, I've had a couple videos like really like blow up, and then that helps gain more traction.
And why did those videos blow up? Was it something about the restaurant, or was it the way you captured it?
I think it was because I know one specific video, it was about a Cuban French bakery, like restaurant bakery. I think it was because that one blew up mainly because, one, it was unique, it's Cuban and French. Two, because it was a local place. I had a bunch of people commenting like, oh, that place has been around since like the 80s, I think, or like 90s. Like I used to go there when I was a kid. I'm glad it's still open. Like I need to go back. So that one blew up because I guess like the nostalgia factor to it.
Right. Okay. So you currently, this is just side hustle still, right? So you have another job?
Yeah.
You do like accounting or something?
Yeah, I do accounting.
Okay, cool. And so zero food enters your world at work at all, right?
I mean, the people like to talk about, I feel like everyone likes to talk about food. So like the people at work, like, you know, we all go out to lunch together. So it's always, where are we going to go out to lunch? The work is mainly remote, but for the few times that I do go into the office, you know, it's always, the first question is always, where are we going to lunch? And then, you know, I'll throw out some recommendations sometimes. Other people have recommendations. And it's always, where did you eat this weekend? Like, I feel like food is just such, everyone loves food and everyone loves good food.
Exactly. Food is healing. You know, sometimes in Miami, there's a lot of big party culture. But we all come back to food as something that, you know, kind of unites us, but also heals us, you know. I think I look at food as medicine a lot of times. Do you have any specific kind of foods that you also look at as medicine?
100%. I always say pho or pho.
Pho.
Pho is one of the most healing medicine. Like, if you're sick, go get a bowl of pho. If you're hungover, I discovered this one time, like 2 years ago. I was very hungover. I had leftover pho from like dinner before, and I was like, I'm gonna try this because I don't know any other hangover food that really works for me. Had the leftover pho, I was revived in like 2 hours. And then I go to my friend and I'm like, go get the pho in the fridge, go get your leftover pho and drink it right now.
Nothing like real pho on the streets of Vietnam, though. I've had that. That blew my mind. Oh, my God. Yeah.
No, that's probably so good.
You get it for like a dollar. You just sit there. Oh, my God. It's so good. But, yeah, has travel inspired you at all? Do you credit any trips as well inspiring you? Or?
I didn't travel as much when I was a kid. I do wish I did more, but that was up to my parents. Definitely now I travel more, especially to, like, very popular food cities. You know, I did a trip to New York recently. That video... Also, I did like a top 10 eats in New York City. That video did really well too. New York is one of the biggest food cities in the world. So I feel like a lot of people really like that video.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, America is a melting pot anywhere you go. So there's definitely, you're exposed to culture all the time. I guess, how often do you cook yourself? Or do you always, what would you say? Are you stealing any great recipes and making them like part of your life? Or
so I actually also do. I know restaurants are kind of the main thing, but I also do recipes for, like, you know, brands or sponsors. I would say I bake better than I cook, but I think I can cook fairly decently if I have to, for, you know, survival or sustenance.
Right, but you always probably get a lot of invites and stuff and temptation to go try other things, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. Like, come try this food, and I'm like, oh, no, I have leftovers in my fridge for a week. I don't have to cook.
So what's it going to take for you to become one of those official, like, Michelin star, critics or something? Like, are you ever going to, is that something you would ever entertain, or?
I don't know about Michelin star, but definitely, like, I would love to be a writer for either, like, I don't know, maybe Infatuation or Eater, Time Out, you know, like, more of the... Those are more, I think, kind of for the people where it's like they will do reviews of, you know, high end places, but then it's also, you have like your mid and low end where it's like, where can I get pho for a dollar or for like $5? Where can I get tacos that are really good but aren't going to break the bank?
Right. So that's, I guess you're covering Miami. I think we talked about this. I mean, there's no real competition in like a vlogging space because like it's not a zero sum game. There's room for a lot of people, but would you say are you a little proud of your blog? Would you say you're like the best food blog in Miami?
I don't think I'm the best food. I definitely think I have like a name out there for myself. I like people have very few times, but people have come up and been like, oh, are you that girl that like does videos on Instagram? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And they're like, can I take a picture? And I'm like, with me? Are you sure? And then, you know, I do like very few times, but there is some recognition. So I definitely think it's a... I don't think there's one best food blogger.
Okay, okay,
I think
okay.
It's like a Mount Rushmore, or there's like a top 10 maybe, like,
right.
You know, of people that just like locals know.
Okay. So how would you say you get the most like new traffic and stuff to your, is it just like off of your videos or like, I guess what, do people actually search Miami food reviews from like people like yourself, or like how would you say most of your traffic or your increase in followers comes from?
I think a lot of people now are very interested in like top, like how I said with the New York video, kind of like top 10 eats. So I've noticed a lot of traction comes from those videos where it's like top 7 or top 10 date nights. I did a top 7 like a date night review for Valentine's Day. I've seen some people do top 10 sushi spots, top coffee spots. Like, people just really like lists for some reason. Like, yeah. I talked to someone, someone that I worked with that owns like a chocolate place. We were talking about it. And he was like, honestly, if someone put like a top 10 tree list, he's literally said that, top 10 trees in Miami, I'd probably watch it. And I was like, okay, so the lists are doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it, are you on TikTok as well? Or
I am not. I think if and when I kind of just make this the main kind of career, then I can get on TikTok. But that would be a whole other, you know, learning, like marketing learning.
Right.
You have to learn the different type of skills that go into TikTok versus Instagram. Because I don't, the two don't like each other.
Would you say you've somewhat mastered Instagram?
It's very hard to say that because Instagram is always changing their algorithm. And it's like, sometimes you think, like, I'll have a great week sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, or a great month. And I'm like, I got it. Like, I figured it out. And then the next week you're like, oh, okay, no, I got to go back to the drawing board. They just changed something.
Right. So I guess for us people who aren't really even thinking about that kind of thing, like what's an example of like an adjustment you made that paid off? Like,
I guess when they introduced Reels, I remember I thought it was a fad and I was like, you know, they're just trying to be TikTok. Reels isn't going to last. Like, who wants to, like, Instagram's for pictures. You don't go on Instagram for videos. And it very much was not a fad. And I was very stubborn. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to keep taking pictures because I got into it because I really like photography. And then very quickly, I was like, okay, this isn't a fad. Like, if I want to keep growing, I have to start doing videos.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we're learning. It's all, yeah, to compete these days, it's all very quick and you have to be sticky in the first 10 seconds of things.
Yep.
Do you do anything different in your videos to like catch people in the first 10 seconds? Like,
That's definitely part of marketing. I think you definitely, that's like even with storytelling, you know, when you were in school, learn in English class, like how to write a good story. It's like, you need that hook. So I definitely think that is part of the marketing, that's part of the videos. Like, you want to get their attention within the first 10, 15 seconds. And I think that's why the lists do really well.
Right, of course. And then, so for people out there who have a blog, they're not making money, I guess, what was the tipping point for you where you started making money with like this side hustle?
Definitely when I just became so busy and I realized it was a lot more effort to make the content. So, you know, it is marketing at the end of the day. If a video does really well, which is what, you know, influencers and bloggers want, if a video does really well, people are going to go to your restaurant and they're going to give you money based on the video that I made for you.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, back then people would pay thousands of dollars for an ad on a radio. And it was what, 10, 15 seconds. Hey, go to this restaurant. Hey, go to this store. So I think for restaurants and even like small businesses, it's a better trade-off because you're paying for the most part and you're paying less for just as good of marketing.
So you actually directly, do they call you now and they DM you and they're like, hey, will you come review us?
Yeah, they'll usually either DM or email me.
Okay, so you're just reviewing tons of invites constantly. That's your life?
I would have like, yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah. That's not a bad place to be. So I guess for everyone who would love Samantha to review their spot, like what are a few key things that you look for when you decide to like, you know, interview us or go check out a spot?
Definitely the type of food. I'm not too picky, but I don't know. There's a few things that maybe like, oh, I don't know if I could give a genuine review on that just because like I'm not versed in that food. Very few places will that happen. But I guess I want to make sure it's not like, you know, an Instagram trap kind of like, if your restaurant is just pretty, but the food is lacking, I might hold off and kind of wait to see what other people are saying just in case. Like, I want to give you a fair shot, but I have to like also, you know, do locals like it? Do outsiders like
right.
it? But for the most part, I'll review anything. You know, I could be surprised. There have been a lot of places that I'm like, oh, it's gimmicky. I'm not going to like it. And then I go and I'm like, wow, that was actually really good.
Yeah. So is there sort of an element? Do they know who you are when you come in sometimes? And they're like, they treat you a little different? Or do you try to go in blind or like?
Wish I could go in blind sometimes. When I go on my own, obviously I'm going in blind. And then I could be like, hey, I actually really like this place. Hey, this was lacking. But if they're hiring me, they kind of know that I'm already coming.
Right.
And then they usually let their staff know, like, oh, okay, this influencer blogger's coming. Like, tell her some recommendations. What's the prettiest dish? And
so you get the queen treatment every time. Every time you.
I wouldn't say every time. I've definitely had some that I was like, it was even like worse than regular, and I was like, okay, wait, something's wrong here. But
they're trying too hard or something.
Not that they're trying too hard, but just the thing is, I understand, like, if the place is busy, like, they're gonna treat their customers before me because that's who's paying. And
right,
I don't mind because I'm at the end of the day, like, you know, you're a restaurant. You gotta you gotta make your money.
Okay. And then so from all the spots you've tried, is there any kind of like way out there, like fusions and comet, like stuff that really like just wows you? Like
I mentioned before, in terms of fusion, there's a lot of fusion food in Miami nowadays. I feel like there's a lot of fusion sushi, particularly the one. I think it's called like Troppy Rolls, where it's not even like that is ultimate fusion food. It's literally cooked sushi at like no fish. And then it's like influenced by the Caribbean. So he has like, I think like a Cuban sandwich, sushi roll. He has a jerk chicken sushi roll. Mm. Like that to me, I was like, wow, I've never seen fusion food like that before.
All right. I think we talked about it at dinner. Who has the best sushi in Miami?
I say Makoto.
Makoto?
Yeah.
And that's, and where is that?
That's in Ball Harbor.
In Ball Harbor?
Yeah. That's very like, you're going on the weekend with like your family or like a couple friends. You sit outside, you people watch, you eat good sushi. And then if you want to shop around, if you can afford to shop around there because it's very expensive, you go shop around or you literally just like walk around and enjoy the weekend.
Right. Like when I first came here, I was very particular about like who has the best like, baguette, who has the best like croissant, who has the best pita. There was one crazy day I think I ordered like pita bread from like 10 different places
and you were just trying them all,
because like for me, I'm not a baker, like I don't like I cook a lot of things but I don't really bake, so I like to outsource that. So for me it's really important to like find out who has the best stuff like for baking and like that kind of thing. So yeah, Zach is good for a lot of things. Yeah, do you ever, I mean, Zach the Baker is huge, like, they deliver everywhere. I mean,
they're in Whole Foods.
Any other shout outs for like, I guess, baked goods, things like
Casa
that?
Casa Bake.
Casa Bake?
It is, which I think this is great. It is right next to my apartment. When that place blew up, I literally Googled, I'm like, how far is this? Around the corner. And I was like, I'm there every day. I literally went yesterday and they have some of the best pastries, croissants, baguette, sourdough. They'll slice it for you. And it's so like, well priced, it's unbelievable. I walked out of there yesterday with six like gourmet kind of like specialty croissants, one whole loaf of sourdough for like $30.
That's the thing about bread too, people don't realize sometimes you can't freeze it. Bread freezes very well.
Yes.
And like that's
especially
why,
especially sourdough.
Yeah, that's why like it pays to like get a bunch of whatever you like and then put it in the freezer and you have it for months. Like so yeah, that's one thing about baked goods. What about who has the best pizza in Miami?
Okay, this is, I don't know if it's me. I think the pizza game in Miami is like lacking. I went to New York, like I said, last summer. I don't know if it's maybe because like I went over there and I was like, wow, this pizza is amazing. And then I come back home and I was like, what are we doing here? But in terms of pizza, I don't know. I've been kind of underwhelmed lately. If I'm honest, that's kind of like how you guys said you're underwhelmed with sushi. I've been underwhelmed with pizza. If I'm going to pick one, I'm going to pick probably, I do like Detroit style pizza.
Okay.
No Name Pizza in Wynwood.
No Name?
Yeah. That's probably my favorite right now.
So the first guest of Miami, you know, the second guest ever in Miami was La Legenda in South Beach. Giovanni. Mm-hmm. Shout out Giovanni. Yeah, he's like a pizzaiolo who like won many awards. So if you're looking for a good margarita, kind of Neapolitan style, like he is authentic, like just as good as you'll find in Italy.
I think it also depends like the style that you like, because everyone
there's a lot
likes,
of styles of pizza. Yeah,
everyone likes different styles. I don't know. I was very underwhelmed when I tried. I did like a pizza crawl with like a couple of my friends, probably last summer, and I just found I was like very underwhelmed. I'm like, man, like we really. Like, it's nothing compared to New York.
No, it's not. But what about Mr. 01? I think people like that one. I don't know.
I do like it. It is expensive, though. Yeah. I'm like, I can't justify paying this price for this like little pizza, unfortunately. It's very good though. If it's like you want to splurge and you want like a good pizza, go ahead. That's fine.
Right. So how often are you getting a lot of questions in your DMs from like just your fans? Are they constantly asking you questions or they leave you alone?
No, I do. Especially like people that are coming from out of town that follow me. They're like, hey, I'm coming to Miami. Like, can you recommend me spots? And then I usually ask the same questions. I'm like, what type, do you not like any specific food? So I leave that out. Where are you staying? So I can give them like places that I don't want to give them a place that's like for a 40 minute drive from them. I'm like, let me make it local for you and make it easier for you. And then even sometimes like some locals will reach out and it's like, hey, I'm having a hard time finding a good sushi spot or a good like seafood restaurant. What do you recommend?
Nice. You ever thought about like monetizing that, like be like a food concierge, like appointment?
No. I would never. If I don't want to take advantage of them.
No, I think you have. I guess your fans are your fans. And you're not going to start charging them. But so, yeah, I guess, are there any repeat like restaurants that you've worked with that you guys have a really great relationship with? Or
definitely a couple. I've worked with, well, worked is, I use that term lightly, is like a restaurant in West Kendall for barbecue called Smoke and Dough.
Smoke and Dough.
The way that we work together, though, is kind of different because they are very, like, local Miami people. They live, I think, like, 10 minutes away from their restaurant, not even. The owners are there every day, family business. But we work together kind of just, like, just for local things also. It's not even like really for videos. It's for like, we do toy drives together for like Christmas and stuff like that. Or, you know, we do like fundraisers kind of stuff like that. So we have a very like personal relationship. And then obviously whenever I go there, I'll take a picture for them. I'll shout them out. But they don't even like, they don't need influencers to come in. Like that's how good they are.
Okay. No, that's great. That's great. You shouted them out. So we were talking about at dinner about how like COVID, you know, obviously shut down a lot of things. And then now, I guess, what are your busiest weeks as a food blogger? Obviously like Art Basel, like do you, even Miami Music Week, since there's so much stuff going on, like do you get invited to things like for that? Or
I feel like the busiest time honestly is lately, these past 2 years, when F1 comes around, there's invites, like there's something going on every day possible. Brands, companies, whatever, they are squeezing F1 as much as they can. So
that's in May, right?
That's in May, yeah. Like they'll invite you where it's like there's something at 12, there's something at 3, there's something at 6, and there's multiple things going on. So it's literally like you need to choose which ones you want to go to. Another big one that just happened in February, South Beach Food and Wine Festival. Yeah.
So you work that, like you go there.
Yeah. So that one was, again, same thing as F1. It's literally like there's multiple events happening at all times of like that week.
Yeah. People fly, a lot of people fly here just to go to that. And yeah, it's, I don't know if New York, I'm sure they have something. I mean, Miami Spice is one of our big things. Do you have any Miami Spice memories or I guess that's something that, it's nice because it's a slower time in the year for us. And so that's when the restaurants have all their deals. Like, did you have any good experiences with Miami Spice?
Definitely. Whenever Miami Spice rolls around, usually like some restaurants that I've worked with before, or even like new ones that are just doing Miami Spice for the first time will reach out. And they're like, hey, we want to extend the invite. Can you, like, if you'd like to come try our Miami Spice menu? And I think it's overall every year, it's always a good season because you just get to try places that, you know, otherwise would be too expensive, or, you know, you've had it on your list for forever. And it's like, you know what, finally now I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so you have quite the life traveling around, eating great food. Do you have any wellness tips for us? Like because I'm sure you've come across a lot of a variety, which is like technically can be stressful. So do you have any tips for people?
Yes, definitely. What I like, I do portion control because it is a lot of good food, but it's also a lot of like, I don't even like just indulgent food. Like, you know, people are bringing you desserts and like, kind of, for lack of a better term, I guess like greasier, like more sometimes unhealthier food. And it's nice to indulge, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you don't want to risk your health for that. So I do like to do portion control, you know, try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that, and then you can always take it to go. It's not going anywhere. You can eat it when you get home, or you can eat it for another day. Sometimes if it's way too much, I'll give it to my friends, give it to my family. Like, no, I try not to waste food as much as possible. And obviously, like, you got to work out. Like, I don't think there's any.
So what's your jam for working out?
Pilates.
Like, Pilates?
Yeah.
Any shout outs to Pilates?
I've been using ClassPass. So ClassPass? I've been using ClassPass. So I've been like trying a bunch of them that are around me. I've only been doing Pilates for like 3 months now. I used to just do like my own workout routines in the gym, but I was like, no, I feel like an instructor or like someone guiding is a lot better. So I'm trying to find one that I just really like that I want to stick to. But so far, I'm just using ClassPass to like try and figure it out.
Yeah, it's great. I've done that for Shay Williams. She was on pod. She's doing great. There's a lot of great. I think Pilates, it's like Miami's a hub for yoga. It's also a hub for Pilates. I think Miami New Times has like an article with like top 10 Pilates studios. Do any Pilates studios that shout out that you enjoyed or?
I definitely, the best workout I got was at like Pulse Fitness, I think it's called, in Sunset. Pulse? Oh my God. Like, I don't know, most Pilates studios, like the music is usually kind of like a little calmer. Like, I don't want to say zen, but it's just like, it flows more, if that makes sense. And then as soon as I walked into this studio, like they put me on the reformer and she was like, the playlist today is going to be great. And it was not calming music. It was like the most upbeat, like I felt like I was like in a club type of music, and I was like, oh, she's gonna beat my ass, she's gonna kick my ass right now in this class. And I walked out of there, I was like limping, I was like, oh my God.
That's why it's great to have someone pushing you, and it kind of beats a lot of the YouTube workouts, which a lot of people do. But again, nothing like an in-person class kind of gets you there. So do you ever do any fasting?
I do. Yes, yeah. I do think that's very important. Usually I'll try to do it because I'm a big breakfast person, and I'm like, I can't function usually if I don't have breakfast, even if it's like super simple. Like I usually do like the same thing during the week, and then the weekend I'll splurge like with a brunch and stuff. But for me, fasting, I try to do it at least a few times out of the month, like a few days out of the month. I think my longest fast was like 18 hours.
18?
Yeah.
Yeah, anything over 12 is really good. I've done like 3-day, 5-day. Yeah.
I'll build up to that eventually.
Yeah, it's good. It does cut like a lot of your body's stress response to life. Like you're just kind of like puts you in a different state. I really recommend it for sure. It's definitely not easy, but I think the more you allow yourself some like cheats, like, you know, gum or coffee or
tea,
you know, tea, like that, yeah, like the fake sugars, like,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to be too hard on yourself. So. But yeah, it's I think that's where sometimes my favorite time to fast is after like a huge meal, like you know, one of those, you know, feasts or something.
After a trip.
After a trip, yeah. Sometimes when you travel, you overeat and stuff like
that. After New York, I was like, I gotta fast.
Yeah, exactly. But that's life. So I mean, you know, we definitely used to fast way more when we were way more like animalistic and stuff. We were always kind of like feast and famine.
That fasting wasn't by choice though. It was just the nature of it.
But you think about it, like, in the Roman days, they used to just, like, throw up everything. Like, what do you think about that?
That's crazy. That's such a waste.
I know. It was wasteful. And it was a hedonistic time, I think, the Romans. But, yeah, Miami's becoming bougie and all. So we're nearing the end here. Do you have any favorite chefs that you think would be down to come on the pod? Because chefs can be kind of private people, like they're tough to get over.
Would definitely say I know the one from Smoke and Dough has done podcasts before, so him and his wife would probably be super down. Chef Harry. And then I actually know probably some, so there's a sake brewery by my apartment as well. The owners are very nice, make some damn good cocktails, make some damn good sake. And it's a husband and wife. The husband, I think, is like one of 6 sake sommeliers in, did I say that word right?
Sommelier
in the world. Like, he literally went to Japan and like did a whole course training to become like a sake sommelier.
And there's only 6 graduates?
I believe so. I think there's almost 7. I think he knows like one other person that's working in it. If I'm not mistaken, there's only 6 in the world.
Okay. And then what chef has the best Instagram in Miami?
That's an interesting question.
Because they're very private too, people. So like, I wonder who you think who you've been impressed by on the social scene.
Oh my God, I feel like I would have to actually look at my Instagram to find
who you follow and stuff.
Yeah, a chef.
It's not an easy question. No, don't worry.
A chef has.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know for the South Beach Festival, we get a lot of celebrity chefs come through here. Do you have, like, a favorite celebrity chef?
Guy Fieri. I grew up watching, like, the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And whenever, like, he would come to somewhere in Miami, I'm like, oh, I have to go there. Like, no, I got to go try it.
Okay. Add it to the list. Huge fan. What about Anthony Bourdain? What do you think of him?
Oh, I love. Yeah. I remember I actually went when he passed, I was literally landing in New York, not this past summer, like when I was probably 19 or 20, I literally landed in New York with my mom and my brother, and I like opened my phone, you know, turn on when there was no signal, and the first news article that pops up is like Anthony Bourdain dead, and I was like, are we joking? And then I tell my mom, and she's like, what? And it was like very, I don't want to say surreal walking through New York with that information, but it's just like, like, it makes you kind of think a little bit that it was like, wow, like, such a influential person.
Yeah, he loved New York, too. Like,
exactly. He loved New York, and it's like, what better place to be, I guess, or what worse place to be, depending how you look at it.
Yeah, New York special. We were talking about doing some trips over there. Do you have any favorite, I guess, say, like, on, like, Netflix or, like, you know, kind of these, on TV, so to speak, do you have any favorite shows that we should check out?
I kind of just would always do, like, so my grandma on my dad's side is the baker, and she only speaks Spanish. But to kind of, like, bond, I guess, we would watch the, kind of, like, the British baking show, Great British Baking Show.
Oh, yeah, that's very famous.
Any, like, little competition is a, or baking competition is the one that she would like. So whatever was on Netflix, we would just throw it on, and it's, like, that. Like, you don't need the words, really. The words help, but it's, like, you can see all the, them all being flustered and like trying to like create something in such limited time. So it was like, that was our bonding time.
Nice. Yeah. I thought about doing something like that, like a croissant competition or something, but.
Oh my God, no. Croissants are so hard to make.
Why? Why are croissants so hard to make?
They're so finicky. You need like the patience and just, it's a lot of love and labor to put into like such a little like pastry.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's the reason, I guess, the Pillsbury croissants aren't very good, are they? I mean, they're just
they'll get you by if that's all you have.
Well, the dough is delicious, but like, yeah, there's something special about the texture of a croissant or just like the way.
Go to Casa Bake if you want a good croissant. Yeah. Like I said,
all right,
go to Casa Bake.
Well, yeah, wow. So the lots to take notes upon and try things. I think I'll ask you tons of questions about things. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any? Any like shout outs, any last shout outs for restaurants people can check out that really wow you?
I mean, I can give you like a top couple, like top restaurants. Tam Tam in downtown Miami, I believe.
Yeah.
Sunny's Steakhouse. They just, I don't think it was a Michelin bib. I don't, they just got put on like the Michelin, like something from a Michelin list they got put on recently. Osteria for Italian food. What else?
Osteria? Where is
Osteria?
That?
Osteria. I think that's in, it's like kind of in between Brickell and downtown, if I remember. Like that little no man's land between there that has no name. What else?
Okay. So what's the best ice cream in Miami?
That's a hard question.
There used to be a spot to freeze on the beach, though. It used to be authentic, and then the lady, she like moved away, sold it, whatever. But like, yeah, I know there's I came from San Francisco, and we do see the, what's that chain coming down here all the time now?
Van Leeuwen?
No. Oh my God, it's escaping me. But there's that ice cream chain that's really popular. They're on the beach now. They're kind of bougie. Let me think here.
Oh my God, Kith.
No.
No? Yeah, that might be from New York.
Wow, I'm blanking right now. But anyways, what's the 5-year vision for your food blog? Like, are you just going to be doing the same thing 5 years from now? Or do you hope to evolve in any way?
I definitely hope to kind of take this full time. Not necessarily because I don't like my job, like I do, but it does take away from like the creativity, and I would like to develop it to a point where it's like it's self-sustaining, and I want to develop more like the recipe side of it. Like I'd like to do both restaurants and even recipes, especially, you know, or whether it's baking, cooking, That's like a whole other, I guess, kind of like sector of food blogging that I like dabble in every now and then, but I'd really like to like full on like explore it. Like even if I don't have like a brand deal or a sponsor, it's like, no, I made a good recipe. I experimented. I made something good. I'm going to share it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any role models that do what you do that are even more successful? Like in the grand,
like other bloggers and stuff.
Yeah. In the world, like just people on it, like any role models for what you do?
Definitely. That's a really hard question. I'd say, I guess like some other Miami locals, you know, like other people that I know, Treat Yourself Everywhere. She's very good. Evie the Foodie, Always Hungry Mel. Like there's so many good food bloggers in Miami that it's like, it's hard not to kind of look up to some of them.
Okay. So you have some potential mentors right here in Miami. Awesome. Thanks for coming. It's been great. I think it's always great to last episode we had a lot of ideas for like shows to watch, and like here now it's a lot of ideas for food. So I think Miami's really growing. When it comes to the food scene, what would you rank Miami in the whole country? Like,
oh, I think we're definitely growing. Like again, I started this 9-10 years ago. The difference that a decade makes in the food scene it's insane. Even just like anywhere, Miami is not the same that it was 10 years ago. We're probably top 10 in the U.S.
Yeah, I would say you can't.
We're not New York yet. We're not Chicago. We're not like California, but we're like climbing there.
Yeah, you got to think we're up there with Dallas or like Houston. Houston's huge, but yeah. I think we're up there with them. Yeah. You know, and. So yeah, we're definitely top 10, and I think there's only more and more top restaurants always moving here. Yeah. So it's a great place to be for what you do.
Yeah, that's why everyone wants to come here.
It is a melting pot of a lot of different cultures, so I think it does make for quite a very wide plethora of options. And I think some people knock the food scene here, but there are some great chains. I'll even shout out, like, I'm kind of addicted to like Taco Stand from San Diego for like their burritos are so good. Kind of addicted to Velvet Taco.
There's a omakase in Taco Stand.
Yeah, back. Yeah, they're which location?
Taco Stand in Wynwood.
Yeah, okay, that's the one I go to. Yeah, they have a lot of locations, but yeah, I think sometimes Miami's big enough where all the best kind of food chains will come here, cause make it definitely one of their cities. So that's where we're blessed to be here. A lot of great options. But yeah, appreciate you coming on the pod. How was the chili?
It was good.
It's good.
It's definitely like a different type of chili than what I've had before, but I appreciate it. It was very good.
Yeah, it's very healthy, honestly. It's
I didn't feel like heavy.
No,
like,
it's very low calorie actually. It's just like a lot of spices and vegetables and Beyond Meat, and then you know, you have that like little bit of queso, like cheese and blue corn chips. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. I think it's all good to find out like what's your jam and then you know, share it with others. And I think there's a lot of room for all of us to kind of develop our own little rituals and things. And appreciate you joining, having some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope to, you know, see you killing it. Just keep doing what you're doing. How many posts per month do you kind of do?
I try to get at least like 3 to 4 a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So upwards of 10 posts a month. I try at the very least. Sometimes I'm posting literally every day of the week. If I have like kind of a backlog of places and I'm like, I got to get these out. Obviously, like I'm doing it strategically because, you know, there are certain days where like, you know, the algorithms or your audience is more active certain times. So I try to time it correctly. But yeah, there are times where I'm like, I got to post every single day this week just to get everything out.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So everyone go follow. It's at Bite of MIA.
Yep.
Okay. And then, it's follow that. And if you ever want ideas for stuff, you're posting regular content. So awesome. Looking forward to seeing what you got. Do you ever theme yourself, like your months? Do you ever have like set themes, or is it always just very random?
It's usually, I guess, I don't want to say random. It depends on Miami itself. Cause there are some times where like, I kind of develop a theme by accident. Like I remember one time, I think I posted like 4 or 5 Indian restaurants in 1 month, just because that's who was reaching out to me at the time. And I was like, I guess this month the theme was Indian food or Indian restaurants. At one point I had like 4 fusion sushi spots and stuff like that. So I think the scene kind of makes a theme for itself. And then obviously if it's like a holiday, you know, everyone's like for Valentine's Day, everyone's doing like hearts and like pink items. So they're like, come show that stuff.
Yeah, I actually, when I first moved here, I learned how to make Indian food because I didn't, well, I was not satisfied with what was out there.
Oh, you gotta go.
So I learned how to make my own. So who has the best Indian? Who has the best Indian?
I'll name a few. There's a lot of good ones. There's a Bombay Darbar in Coconut Grove. I think they opened a second location, but the OG one is in Coconut Grove. Ghee is also very good. And then there's another one in Aventura that's a little bit of a drive called Golden Chariot. That one's also...
There you go. Even in Miami, you can find great Indian food, huh? Because it's rare. You would think it'd be rare, but we had everything here. So it's quite the city for foodies. So all the foodies, enjoy your feasting. And yeah, thanks for coming.
Of course. Thank you for having me.